The message. It's always wise to pray for the message. It can be a self-centered prayer, which is, Lord, don't let him bore me to tears. I used to pray that when I was in high school. But let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would work through this message, that you would speak to us truth in the midst of our lives as we live these lives. Show us your truth and where they apply to us. Make sure that we understand the message. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in a series of messages. This is the third one in that thing. And I'm looking at ways in which they're really life and death issues. They have to do with not only life in this world, but eternal life as well. But a lot of it has to do with just how things are and how it is. And you need to hear the truth occasionally because all we hear is lies on TV. And so I'm going to try and give you the truth today. I want to talk to you today about how people destroy themselves, and they do it through a process of ruination. You don't do it all at once usually, but they do it to themselves, and then maybe we'll look at the bigger picture. I have three scriptures from Proverbs in here, and I want us to read them in order and all together because they show us a picture of something. So let's read them together. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is caught in the toils of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is lost. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, when you link these three scriptures together, they kind of make a statement. And they show a pathway to ruination, and then they give you a principle of living. The truth is that we can rationalize our actions, and anything we choose to do, we can make right in our own eyes. That's because we grade our own papers. Always knew you'd get A's. We have such a tendency to be right in our own eyes and be the only authority in how to do things. The truth is, though, when we are the authority in our lives and choose our own path, it only leads to death and ruination. Now, the reason it leads to ruination is that our own sinful tendencies will ultimately destroy us if we do not submit ourselves to God and as the ultimate authority in our lives. That's why the last of these Proverbs says to be not wise in ourselves, but put God as the authority in our lives and turn away from our sinful tendencies. So these Proverbs show us how a person ruins themselves and gives us direction as to how to avoid ruination. And the main way that we are unwise in our own lives is by not submitting our actions and our thoughts to the principles that are revealed in the Bible which lead to life. And that is exactly what we are doing this morning. We are looking at our own lives and the lives of people around us. And we're submitting ourselves to judgment in the Scripture. Scripture reveals how ruination takes place so that if we find ourselves on that pathway, we can get off of it. Or if we see others on that pathway, if we can't turn them aside from their ways, we can at least understand what is going on. And we can see the possible end result. Ruination is a life and death issue. And there are people doing it to themselves all the time. In fact, there are members of this church that are doing it to themselves right now. You see, I take tours in people's lives, and I can watch, and I know what they're doing. Ruination takes place in both the followers of Jesus and non-believers out there. There's a difference between the ruination of a Christian and a non-believer, though. And that difference is that in the Christian, at least, there's ultimate salvation possible through the person, though the person may create for themselves a hell on earth in this life. But in the case of the non-believer, the result of ruination is damnation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the real issue that the Apostle Paul is writing about is how every person's life's work will be brought to light and judged, and it will be judged by the fire of God's glory. Read with me together 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 15. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. This is the truth. Every one of us is going to stand before the Lord on a day of judgment. Now, in standing before the Lord, everyone will stand in one of two categories, either as one who has committed their life to Jesus in that that process of making him Lord, or those who have not. This is the first judgment. If a person has not accepted Jesus, the issue has to do with with eternal life or not. But for those who have received Jesus as Savior and they're living their life with him, Lord, the issue is not eternal salvation, but the issue is the evaluation of what we did with our lives. Now, I guess it is comforting to know that even if you have built your life with a bunch of trash, it is comforting to know that as you come into the presence of the glory of God and everything goes up in smoke, so to say, still you will be saved. A person who knows Jesus will be saved, even though he passes through the fires of evaluation. This scripture is simply saying that if the fabric of our life is not built with eternal things, then when we come into the presence of God, everything will burn up simply because we are in the presence and the glory of God. Anything of our lives that is not eternal substance in nature will evaporate, disintegrate, and disappear because it does not have that eternal substance that God intends for us to build our lives with. Now, as we look at the ruination of a person's life, we need to understand the truth about God. God is a God of grace, and that grace is shown to us most profoundly in the saving power of Jesus dying on the cross to take away your sins and my sins. God loves us, and he is a God of grace, and we are saved by that grace. But God is not only a God of grace, but he is also a God of order. I've preached this before, but this God of grace and God of order sent his Son to save us because somebody had to pay the price. But Jesus' death on our behalf was to set things right. Jesus put things in order by covering our sin. God set this universe in order, and there are natural laws that govern our order in our lives. The law of gravity keeps things in order. But you can ruin yourself by throwing yourself against this physical law by jumping off the top of a building. There is order to this universe, and it comes in the form of natural laws. And there is also spiritual law. And if you throw yourself against the spiritual law, it will ruin you. And that's the truth. I'm not much of a hellfire damnation kind of preacher, but there is truth behind it. And sometimes we need to be told the truth. And that truth is that if you go against God's order, it will ruin you. When we read this scripture, remember that we're seeking God's word on how a person can come to ruination, and keep in the back of your mind that in the scriptures in Proverbs that shows us a truth in three parts. First, how we ruin ourselves. Second, the pathway to ruination. And third, the way to avoid that ruination. And that's the background for this scripture in 1 Corinthians that we just read. Now, read with me verses 16 through 18. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. And if you look at Proverbs 3:7, it reasserts that. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Now this passage here should put a little fear in our souls, but when it does, a lot of time that fear falls on the wrong side of our emotions. It usually falls in the areas of feelings. What kind of God is this anyway? I mean, is he looking for a chance to whip up on us? Is this some kind of vindictive, retaliatory deity we have here? In other words, hellfire and damnation, and it goes something like this. If anybody destroys the temple of God, God will destroy you. Now, most of us may have heard that kind of preaching without any real meaning given to the scriptures. And the truth can be missed because we're motivated by our emotions that have the wrong view of the Heavenly Father, which are brought forth by some well-meaning preacher, but nonetheless becomes a stumbling block for people. Thinking that God would rather scare hell out of people than have them see his love. My intention today is to see how people ruin themselves and see it correctly. There is a word here that is translated destroy. Defile would be also appropriate to use. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Now, the Greek word here for destroy is the word thyro. The basic idea of this word thyro is ruin or ruination. And so when we hear a hellfire sermon, maybe, what we hear is God watching us ruin ourselves, and then it's as if there's this, comes this heavenly chuck, ha, 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 got him. Because now God gets a chance to work a number on you. Well, let me say that's not the heart of Father God at all. What this passage is telling us is something about God's order. The laws that govern the universe and how we are brought into judgment by our own flagrant throwing of ourselves against those laws, this passage about judgment and all of God's judgments are guided by God's law of irrevocable loss, of which we're really not ignorant. Let me show you what I mean. We know about the law of gravity, don't we? And if you jump off a building, that law will kill you. But it's not the fall, it's actually the sudden stop at the end. God's judgment and the law of irrevocable loss occurs. The loss of life, your life, and you understand the law, don't you? The law of gravity, how you can ruin yourself against this. This means yes. This means no. Do you understand the law of gravity? Good. In the area of finances, for example, There are laws of profit and loss. And if you are reckless in investment or if you are unwise in the exercise of the stewardship of your resources and their use, then you suffer loss. Ruination occurs, either total or partial. God has given every one of us not only life, but possibilities to understand how life works. And that is what this scripture shows us, as well as many others. There are principles of living, and all of them work, and they can be profitable, fulfilling, purposeful, if they are used correctly. But if they are flagrantly disregarded, then we suffer loss. And this passage in 1 Corinthians shows what will happen if we choose to destroy ourselves. God is not going to violate his own laws that are built into the very fabric of the universe in which we live and say, well, I'll create a little safe place for you in this universe where you can partially observe the order of this universe and partially not because, well, you're so special. You're so special, I'll make you immune to the consequences of your violating those laws. Now, friends, God is not going to do that for you or me. And if that seems to you to be a very harsh God judging you unfairly, then it's time to suggest that you are either blinded to the real issues of God's order and law, or you have decided that you will flagrantly go against his order with your life. And the fact of the matter is, God has not left us in the dark about how we are to live. He's given us his word in Scripture. He's given us his son Jesus to give us grace and cover the law, because somebody has to pay the price to bring things back into order. And then he shows us how to live. There are also things that are written on our hearts, which we have to work at to really quench them if we want to go against God. We call it a conscience. And our conscience is something that is written on our human hearts, and it gives us an awareness of what God wants us to do and what's and not to do, and we have to make an effort to get rid of that. And so we read, if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. Let me restate this for you. If anyone proceeds in ruining themselves through defiling the shrine of their soul, the temple of their life, God will not neutralize that ruination, but will in fact apply his own eternal law of loss to that life. God will let that ruination complete itself, so it is not divine vengeance, but it's rather divine order. And it's built into the system of order, and God says, then you get the consequences of your actions. But you know, God doesn't like that. That's the very reason that he has not only given us his son to rescue us from eternal consequences of our sin, but he's also given us the word to teach us to avoid the day-to-day practice of ruination in this life as well. Of course, if you never read the word, you know better, right? You're grading your own papers. Ruination. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Let me show you a striking thing that I have discovered about this Greek word, thyro, which is the word that is used, we translate destroy. Once again, the fundamental idea that for this word, thyro, is ruination. But it was used in particular ways. Three of them, to be exact. The first way that it was used when a girl was seduced and lost her virginity, she was defiled. In the ancient Greek culture, the people presented virgins to their gods, an expression of worship. The Parthenon in Athens is from the Greek word parthenos, which is the word for virgin. They would offer virgins to be priestesses in the temples, and they were called temple virgins. And whenever a virgin was defiled, the verb thyro was used to describe the loss of virginity. So this word was used in a moral sense. The second way that it was used was to describe the destruction of a business, a bankruptcy, we might say, or when a business is raided and torn apart by a corporate raider. In the ancient Greek world, when the loss of a great business house took place, when economic failure came and happened, the word used to describe that destruction was thyro. So this word was used in an economic sense. The third way that it was used was when a household broke up and fell apart and domestic relationships were dissolved. We call it divorce. And whenever this kind of destruction took place in a household, the word used to describe that destruction was thyro. So this word was used to describe the breakdowns of relationships. And if you think about this, isn't this the sum of our lives, essentially? This word thyro has to do with our money, our relationships, and our moral integrity. And doesn't the essence of our lives manifest itself in terms of our moral integrity, our relationships, and our place in society? So the Bible says basically whoever thyro, whoever ruins themselves, and it shows itself in their economic matters, their moral attitudes and behavior, and their relationships domestically, God says, I will let it happen. God says, if you choose to ruin yourself, there's going to come a day when you will stand there and watch your life go up in flames, and you're going to wonder what hit you. And I'm not going to change things because it's part of my order. And I have shown you how to build your life. Now, just a side note for a moment about our country. I am not positive about our country. What we are experiencing as a nation is the breakdown of these three areas. Our moral integrity, that goes from sex to business to government. Secondly, the family structure in this country is being thyro, destroyed by the breakdown of domestic relationships through divorce and the redefinition of what marriage really is. And thirdly, the monetary base of this country is being destroyed because we're going bankrupt as a nation. And because our currency is basically worthless, we're in debt up to our ears, and that is the description of what bankruptcy really is, and the national debt is out of control. And let me tell you something. We who are living here in Illinois, we can't print our own money, and so our government is a mess, and as goes the leadership, so goes the people. And God said to us, do you not know that this country is a temple formed in the name of my Son and that I placed my Spirit in you? If you destroy my nation, I will let you come to ruin. And we have it right there on our money. In God we trust. It's a witness against us. I am not hopeful here. Because God said, I will not suspend the rules just because you think you're special. You see, ruination is not just an individual thing. It can happen to nations as well, and it has happened to nations over the years. But we can always point the finger at others, can't we? The main message for today is to bring us to a point of understanding about how we ruin our lives. Now, for Christians, people who name the name of Jesus as Savior and are in that process of making Him Lord of their lives, and not just with their lips, but with their hearts, they may in fact ruin their lives. But they will make the cut, so to speak. And it is because in their hearts they have at least made one correct move, and that is receiving Jesus as Savior. But you know what? I'm telling you, there's a host of people out there who have no idea, who do not even care to hear the name of Jesus. And they're all around us, and they will not only ruin their lives, but they will lose their soul as well. Eternal ruination. God is a God of grace because He gave us Jesus to save us from our sin. But He is a God of order as well. And we would be wise children to test all our ways, our thoughts, our actions against God's word, so that we can be wise children and not bring ruin upon ourselves. This has got some hard truth in it, and I know that. But I would be lax in my job if I didn't tell you the truth, because you're not going to hear it on CNN. And you're not going to hear it in these sitcoms and things that we hear in our lives. You're just not going to hear it from our government either. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that You would make us aware of our own lives and how we run them, and make us aware of Your orders in this life, and show us enough grace to make ourselves consider where we walk, what we do, what we say in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.